to be with you tonight.
You think Scott Stapp could have written this song? No. You think Scott Stapp could have gotten the Prague Symphony Orchestra to do this song? No.
Come on, Donnie, get him.
Can you take me higher?
With
my
arms
band
wide
is
open.
Bad called Creed.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Okay.
I just thought of something.
Tell us.
By all means, please.
If the Eagles win on Sunday, we're playing Creed all day on Monday.
Boy, you get one show with Crowley coming up, and you feel drunk with
and here,
power.
And here comes an executive order.
All right,
I'm
then.
I'm running the controls back here.
Oh, can you imagine if we just
he's pulling controls rank on us right now?
If he actually pulls this stunt, I will be impressed.
Why don't you pull seniority on him, Chris, and say, I've been here the longest. Hell no, we're not doing that. We don't want our ratings to plummet because people keep hearing Creed.
Donnie?
Every top of the hour.
I'm pulling seniority here. You're not playing Creed if the Eagles win on Monday. You're playing Nickelback. And their hit
well,
song,
I'll happily do that,
How
too.
How You Remind Me, over and over and over
you
again.
You act as if that's some sort of insult. I love Nickelback. That was my first ever concert.
Crowley just admitted
who
to me.
Who took you?
What do you mean, who took me?
Who'd you go to Nickelback
I went,
with?
I went myself. I didn't go to any concerts as a kid.
I'll do an embarrassing admission right now. First concert was when I was like 17. Avril Lavigne. Bad.
Why is that embarrassing?
I mean...
I think that's less embarrassing than Creed or Nickelback.
I liked her first CD. It was like written
why
by
are
like
you
literally sa- a hit.
Why are you
team,
saying but. That like you should be ashamed of yourself?
I don't know. I feel like people would expect better.
Avril Lavigne has withheld the test of time in my withstood the test of time in my opinion. Much better than Nickelback.
How
and
many of
Creed.
Her songs can you name?
There's the one about things getting really complicated. I know that one.
It's called that. Remember the one about Skater Boy?
I knew that one too. I'm pretty much
tapped out at 2.
The well is dry at that point.
What a discography.
That clip we played of Art Rooney saying we'll see on Tomlin's contract and getting an extension has made the rounds everywhere. Rooney not giving a firm show of support to Tomlin. And that would be great if that's true, if you take that literally as him not wanting to speak positively about Tomlin because they haven't won a playoff game in a long time. I'd love that. If that's what that meant, if that's what he meant by that, he could not bring himself to give a expansive, longer answer about how Mike's an amazing coach and we're lucky to have him here and all that stuff. I do think the Steelers need to look at the state. Now, this is going to be tough to say, Chris, because we just had Kabali on last hour say that they're stuck in the 1970s. They're stuck in a 50-year time machine. But even if you are committed to Mike Tomlin, shouldn't the coaches in the championship games this weekend compel you to want to shake up your offensive staff somewhat? And I know now Canada's back. He's not going anywhere. They like the progress and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to come off as too ageist, but I don't think I'm offending anybody by saying it would be nice to have some fresh blood around here and some new ideas. The coaches on their staff right now who we would think, in theory, make their offensive decisions. Tomlin, the buck stops with him. He's 50. Canada is 51 years old. How old is Mike Sullivan, would you say? Close to 60? I don't know, just from
maybe,
looking at him.
Late 50s, early
late
60s.
Late 50s. So all older guys. Now, Andy Reid is in a category by himself. He's one of the greatest offensive minds probably in the history of the NFL. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, we might be getting close to the territory where he is up there with Bill Walsh as the greatest.
The head coaches of the other teams, Zach Taylor, Nick Sirianni, and Kyle Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
Late 30s, early 40s?
I don't know. Would Shanahan's got a lot of gray in that beard.
Late 30s, early 40s?
Yeah, I mean, that's, yes. Bottom line, yes.
How about some of that here?
I don't even think, like you say, at the risk, you don't want to be come off as ageist. You just, but you didn't even say younger, newer ideas. You just said something fresh. For me, it's not even about age or lack thereof. It's the same voices. Now it is, and it is. Tomlin likes to assemble a staff full of like older school tenured guys who've been around the block.
Yeah, but you could say then by
they've
that
never taken a risk on a young guy.
I know, but you could say by that. Well, Sullivan is from the outside. He isn't indoctrinated
people
in Steelers
would have seen
way.
Frank Reich, if they had paid top dollar to make Frank Reich an OC and he wanted the job, that would have been, in my opinion, something fresh. Even though Frank Reich is older than Mike Tomlin,
he's in his 60s.
Right. That would have been fresh because it would have been, holy crap, they're hiring a huge name from the outside who probably could be a head coach, but this is how serious they are. I just, my main thing is for a team that, despite whatever people want to say about Mike Tomlin's recent run here of not winning playoff games, for a team that benefited immensely from hiring a very young guy from outside the organization, somebody fresh when they hired Tomlin, that and then reaped the benefits with a Super Bowl win in year two, another trip to the Super Bowl 2 years later, and a near win there, and a lot of winning sense overall, you would think they as an organization would not only be more open to going with like younger, sort of fresher ideas and shaking things up, you would think that that would be like an article of faith to do every couple of years just as a matter of course. It worked for us so well at the most important spot on the coaching staff. Why would we not keep applying that principle to other places? We want a new running backs coach. You should want, I think in a great NFL coaching staff, you should want there to be turnover because guys are getting poached. That means you're doing something right. If you're constantly having to replace and fill on your staff because guys are getting better jobs elsewhere, you clearly have something good happening.
Yeah, and that's what's happened with San Francisco. That's what's happened
Buffalo's
with the Rams.
The new one right now where Dable gets promoted, and now Dorsey looks like he's going to be in a good spot. And then Joe Brady probably gets bumped up the ladder there. Like, what you don't want to have happen is once those guys get promoted, if they fail elsewhere, you bring them back into the flock like Belichick does. But, like, it's good. It's objectively good to have your coaches getting poached because other people want them. I think one of the most fair and obvious criticisms of the Steelers of the last several years is no one wants their coaches. If they're doing a bad job, their contract runs out, they're let go, and then they usually sit around collecting dust. Seriously. And that's what they do. Or, like, they go to Oregon like Adrian Clem, and then I didn't even see. Did he get hired as the Patriots O-line coach?
I don't think he has yet.
But, like, Randy Feitner being completely out of football should be alarming to
the
Steelers.
And not because he wants to retire.
No,
and
he wanted a new job somewhere,
off
and
into
people
the
were just like, this guy? This guy? I actually, this might surprise you. I think if Matt Canada were to coach one more year here like he will, and, like, say their offense is between, like, 16th and 20th in points, right? They're better, but they're still below average, okay? Which probably would mean they're not going to make the playoffs unless the defense is great. I think he would have a better chance of somehow latching on as an NFL coach than Randy Feitner.
But I think he would have to start as just a
QB coach again.
Consultant or something like that. I'm not even sure he would get a quarterback's coach job.
He probably couldn't get a pass game coordinator job. Yeah, you're right. He'd have to start as somebody's offensive, like, consultant. But
and he might even look at it at that point and say, I could go back to college and make more money. It's just an observation of mine. When the league evolves and the way to go seems to be with some younger, newer ideas on offense where guys aren't like having to completely pay their dues to get important gigs and they're thriving and doing well, you're an organization that has empowered head coaches in their 30s. There's no like residue of that with your assistant coaches, that you're an organization for up-and-comers below your head coach. That's what I just don't get. That's what's mind-boggling about the state of the team. They're stuck in the past. Well, this is like a remnant of their past. This used to be a tenet of their past, having coaches like that. Just frustrating.
I think that would be, I mean, I think the overall idea of stability and the overall idea of we're just not, we're not going to innovate anymore is probably my most like frustrating thing here. We're not going to challenge ourselves to do better. We're not going to, as an organization, say having just guys around here is good enough.
Part of being a great head coach is finding people to work for you. And I will give Tomlin credit for the Brian Flores hire, who looks like he's on the verge of getting a big gig, which he deserves because he was a really good head coach in Miami. So I am giving him credit for something by means of saying, if I were his boss, I would say, do some of that on offense. Find, like, you just lost this Blaine Stewart character. Scour the earth for a young mind.
I'll go back to something Aditi told us. Didn't she say if she were in his shoes, Tomlin's shoes, she'd call Kyle Shanahan and the handful of other really elite offensive minds and say, hey, who's like a guy, in this case now for that job that Blaine Stewart vacated, it would be for a lower end job. Just say, who's somebody in your organization that this job would be a move up for them that you really like? Seriously.
The worst they can say is no. They hang up the phone and say, I'm not going to make you guys
better.
And
then the next worst they could say is, here's a guy, you hire him, and it, for whatever reason, doesn't work out. Oh, well. But you do have to try, man.
Malzi, you went to Catholic school. Did you ever get the sense that some of the nuns didn't really mind doling out harsh punishments? They almost got a little kick out of it.
Did I get
maybe
a
more
sense? Pony, my mom taught 7th and 8th grade at the Catholic school I attended.
Yeah.
The nuns were mostly concentrated in 1st through 4th grades. 2nd grade nun, Sister Claudia, she is long deceased now. I can say this. She would threaten to haul me up the hallway to my mom's room and interrupt her class whenever she thought I so much as breathed out of line. So, no, I think they enjoyed the harshness of it.
Okay, because I'm not that way. I'm not enjoying presiding over Steelers conference championship game trivia for this massive concert that's coming to Pittsburgh. It's paining me. I'm suffering over here watching our listeners fall apart and melt under the pressure. Yes? What's that?
I'm sorry. I was listening to you closely talk about our listeners melting under the pressure. But Donnie's going to like this more than you. Donnie, I put up the Nickelback or Creed better band poll question, and one of the responses from Yak Jackson was, I anonymously played Higher by Creed 4 times in a row at a bar, and everyone started to turn on each other.
That's pretty good.
That's audio terrorism. That's
what
that is.
He's just sitting there like, they have
just
no idea.
Just ripping Creed, baby.
Just
anyway.
Full disclosure, the tickets you're playing for, not Creed.
No,
I would not wish that upon my worst enemy. Here is Bob. He's going to start
us Bob.
Off.
Come on, Bob. Let's go, buddy.
Hello, Bob. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, guys?
Bob, what's a year or an era of Steelers football that would help you get these questions right?
Oh, geez. I feel confident all the way back to the 70s.
Okay. So. Wow. Okay, so here's what we're going to do, everybody. The first question's a gimme. The second question gets a little bit harder. All right, let's go here. All right, 1979 AFC Championship game. Steelers 27, Oilers 13. Who was Houston's starting quarterback that day?
Dan Pastorini.
Okay.
Very nice, Bob.
Was that a layup for you, Bob?
Easy, it sounds like.
Yeah, that one was. I don't know about the next one, though.
No hesitation from Bob. I got confidence in you, brother.
1975 AFC Championship game. Steelers 16, Raiders 10. There were 12 combined turnovers in this game. One Steeler defender recovered 3 fumbles. Name them.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's not a layup.
Yeah, that's the point of this, Bob. Second question's a toughie.
Jack Ham.
Nope.
Can you take me higher?
No. Dan is next. Hello, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Dan, I think you got a good chance here. I got a good feeling about you.
You sound like a confident guy, Dan.
Hey, can I ask you a question first?
Which one of us?
Both of you. Do you guys know what Cracklin' Rosie actually is?
It's a song by Neil Diamond.
Cocaine?
Oh, what it's about. It's a sparkling wine that dock workers used to drink after work.
He wrote a song about a dock worker's sparkling wine?
Yep.
Genius. One of the great songwriters of all time.
You know what, frankly. Dan? If you have that kind of knowledge of the trivial,
Dan, are you?
I hope you win this.
Dan, are you Ivy League educated?
No, it's a WV like Crowley.
Oh, and boy. My wife.
That's more like the, that's more like the Dandelion League.
What year, what kind of range do you want these in? I'm going to do my best for you, Dan.
Well, I fell asleep during the 0-1 game, so let's go 0-5 on.
Okay. 2005 AFC Championship game. The Steelers took down Denver to become the first 6 seed to get to the Super Bowl. Who was Denver's starting quarterback that day?
The guy who couldn't get it done in Arizona, Plummer.
Jake the Snake, pride of Arizona State, caught picking his nose on the sideline, I think eating it.
Okay, here we go. You said you wanted 2001 or you don't want 2001?
I do not want 2001. I fell asleep halfway through the game.
Okay. Yeah. 2016 AFC Championship game. The Patriots dusted the Steelers 36-17. Le'Veon Bell got hurt in that game. The Steelers had a late cosmetic touchdown scored by this Steelers wide receiver to make the final score look closer than it really was. Who caught that touchdown pass?
Antonio Brown.
Nope.
I actually got that one. I whispered that one to Donnie.
Donnie, did that feel like more of a
half-court
shot or three-pointer?
No, that was a three.
That was maybe, I knew that one.
That was a new college three-point line three, but that was a three-pointer.
That was a makeable shot?
That was a fair look.
Good look?
That's Mulsey stepping into one, and I would have swished it.
Here is Robert next. Come on, guys. Let's do this.
Robert!
You know your Steelers.
Robert!
Hi, Rob.
How are you guys doing?
Rob, what kind of...
We're suffering here. Hold on, Rob. I'm going to editorialize. We're suffering here because these are makeable shots
and you guys are missing them.
We need you to step up to the plate and put your damn foot down.
What years you want, Rob?
We'll try anything more recent. We'll go with more recent.
Okay.
This century, Pony.
This century. I can do that for our man, Rob.
I thought our guy, Dan, that last time was going to get it. I thought he was going to pull a little rabbit out of the hat. Uh-oh. Why are you laughing?
I didn't. All right. 2004 AFC Championship game. Patriots 41, Steelers 27. This is Big Ben's first loss, Rob, a Steelers quarterback. He threw three picks, including an 87-yard pick six that put New England up 24-3. Who made that play for the Pats? Who took it to the house?
Oh, geez. Harrison.
Yes.
You can put it on the board.
Yes. Let's go, Rob.
Yes.
Rob, if you've been paying attention, I'm going to give you the same question I just gave the last guy. Another Patriots Steelers butt kicking in the AFC Championship game.
Come on, Rob.
This Steeler wide receiver caught a cosmetic touchdown late in the fourth quarter to make the game closer than it really was. Name him.
What year again?
2016 AFC Championship game.
2016, Kobe Hamilton.
Yes! Put him on hold. We got one winner.
You can put it on the board. Yes!
Put Rob on
hold. Stuff, Rob.
Rob, you stay right there. It's going to be worth your while, buddy.
Hang in there, Rob. You just won, baby. Let's go.
Check out the big brains on Robert and Whitehall.
They build them smarter down there in Whitehall.
One down, one to go.
Rob's got two.
Who wants to sit next to Rob at the...
Are these all four together?
Concert of the century. I don't know if they're all next to each.
They might not be.
That might be a promise I can't keep.
You might want to rescind.
Maybe you can run into Rob there. He'll buy a drink. Here's Mike in Peters Township. Hello, Mike.
Hey there.
Mike, you feel like you can follow up on Rob's success?
Unlikely, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay. What years do you want?
I guess old school.
You like old school? 70s. You like the 70s. You're a big fan of the 70s. Okay. 1976 AFC Championship game. The Raiders beat the Steelers 24-7. The Steelers punted the ball seven times in a loss. They were down their two 1,000-yard running backs. This backup running back scored the Steelers' only touchdown. Name him.
So, I don't know. Rocky and Frank overall.
Yeah.
Yep. Who scored the only Steelers' touchdown?
I gave you that. I'll give you that factoid.
Reggie Harrison?
Yes, he did, Mike. See?
Check out the big brain on Mike.
Don't sell yourself short.
Mike, here we go, brother. One more.
Don't be self-loathing like Mulsey.
I have good reason to be. Come on, Mike.
1978 AFC Championship game. This one went better for the Steelers. They crushed the Oilers 34-5. The Steelers tied a record for the most takeaways in an NFL playoff game in the win. How many takeaways did they force?
I'm just going to have to guess at this one. Let's say 5.
Wrong.
Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, Mike.
Kyle is on the air. Hello, Kyle.
What's up?
Hi, Kyle.
Kyle, do you like Malzi?
Nah, he's all right.
Kyle, do you like Pony?
Yeah, a little bit better than you.
Well, I got to ask then, Kyle. We got to go for the trifecta. Kyle, do you like Donnie?
Oh, he's the best of all, man.
Yeah, I kind
of
thought we were heading that direction.
That's okay by me.
Going to be honest with you, Kyle. Don't want you to win now. Not going to cheer for you.
Kyle.
Yep.
I'm on your side. Give me a ballpark here. Give me a year range.
Give Kyle a 1960s question that isn't even about the conference
title
game.
There wasn't the AFC Championship game back then,
I know,
Chris.
But screw Kyle.
Wow. Okay. I'm 22, so anything like 07 and more recent.
Okay. 2010 AFC Championship game. The Steelers beat the Jets 24-19. Who was the Jets starting quarterback that day?
Mark Sanchez.
Okay. Let's go.
Hold on. Here. This is all I'll give Kyle. Yay.
All right. I'm going to give you the same game. This has never been done before.
Oh, boy.
Steelers nearly blew a 24-0 lead at 24-19 with 3 minutes left. The Steelers needed to pick up 2 first downs to run out the clock. They got those first downs on 14-yard catches. 2 14-yard catches, Kyle. Name the 2 players who caught those passes.
Antonio Brown and I'm blanking on the second one. Board.
What?
Board?
Board? Who?
By Kyle.
Board, I meant.
Board.
Ward.
Ward. Ward. Oh. Ward.
No, Board. That's wrong. Yeah, Bill Board. He was a great Steelers wide receiver. And you should have seen the crowd light up when Board's name
Johnny
got called.
Board. 412-928-9370. We got a lot of people lined up. Here's Doug next. Hello, Doug.
Let's go, fellas. Bring it. I'm 45.
I like it. I like
You're a man. You're 45, Doug.
I like that Doug's got some...
he's got some pizzazz.
Some pee and vinegar.
That's right.
Going.
Let's go.
All right, 45-year-old man. He's a man. He's 45.
I just said that.
I know, Chris. I'm repeating it for emphasis. 1994 AFC Championship game. Chargers 17, Steelers 13. Who was San Diego's starting quarterback that day?
Doug.
I'm 45, Pony, not 65.
1994?
I'm 37 and I know the answer,
yeah,
Doug.
You were a teenager back then.
What are you talking about? You were probably bumming cigs from your older brother and trying to drink illegally?
Come on, man.
I was running dig routes for Mac Canada.
Well, it's a good thing you still have your wits about you and you're not clinically insane.
Come on, Doug. Just pick a name. Chargers quarterback, starter, 1994
Five,
AFC title game.
Four, three,
I'm going to go
to
Drew Brees. Drew Brees.
Come on, man.
He wasn't even at Purdue yet. He was in high school somewhere in Texas. Is that better or worse than the Elway answer for, like, quality of terrible? I think that might be worse than saying Elway.
I think it's worse because he's like, wait, that's an unfair question for a 45-year-old.
He would so 45 and just do it, 78. He would have been 16. That's the prime of your life.
Exactly. For trivia.
And for sports?
Yep. Jason's next. Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Jason.
Yo.
I'll give you that same question if you want it to start.
The layup question. Chargers starting quarterback, 1994 AFC title game. Who was it?
Stan Humphrey.
Thank you.
Let's go. I knew I liked Jason. I friggin' knew it.
All right, Jason. Now crack those knuckles, brother, because business is about to pick up.
Yes, it is, my friend.
All
1995
right.
AFC championship game. A year later, this went much better for the Steelers. They beat the Colts 20-16. Captain comeback Jim Harbaugh threw up a Hail Mary as time expired. It went off the chest of a Colts wide receiver and plummeted to the AstroTurf of Three River Stadium, and the whole city of Pittsburgh exploded as one, excited that the Steelers were going back to the Super Bowl. Name the Colts wide receiver who couldn't hang on to the ball in the end zone on that play.
Oh, shoot. Oh, man. No clue, man. No
guess.
Clue.
5, 4, 3.
Say a name.
Two.
Any name.
Aaron Bailey.
Yes!
Oh, my God!
Yes!
He got it!
A miracle!
Am I right?
Yes!
An answered prayer!
Oh, wow.
Answer me this honestly. Were you sandbagging us and you knew it all along?
No, I didn't. I was just trying to think of who played in the game and just
Oh, what a move! Jason!
A Hail Mary! About a Hail Mary!
Jason, are you a married man?
Yes, I am.
I hope she takes care of you tonight, brother, because you deserve it, man. That's a
Well, we're scheduled. We're on the schedule.
Let's go. Put him on hold.
We're scheduled.
Hey, I still try to do that. I know spontaneity and stuff is cool, but when you know you got it locked in.
Sometimes, though, the schedule's booked up, you know, with other things. Like watching reruns of Friends.
Oh, God. Wow. The guy was about to not even put a guess out there. We had to force him into just throwing a name out there, and he got it right.
I had a borderline out-of-body experience. All I heard was Bailey and then myself screaming.
Oof.
What a dramatic ending to the week. He answers a question about a Hail Mary with a Hail Mary guess.
I'm going to take you inside the producer studio here for a second.
Who did that show? James Lipton?
When we had just a pathetic performance by our listeners in the 3 o'clock hour. And Donnie was told by our promotions director, these are really important tickets. You got to give them away today.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen the look on his face when that last segment started. He thought all hope was lost. He gave our listeners no chance. And two came through.
Well, I'm proud of him. I'm proud of Jason.
I'm real proud of
Jason.
I'm
proud of Robert.
I'm real proud of Jason, who came in there, breezed through the Humphreys answer, and then pulled a rabbit out of the proverbial hat. Well earned. Very well earned.
I am beaming right now. You have no idea how proud I am.
I'm legitimately pumped for both of them, but Jason especially. And then you say, I hope you get lucky with the misses. And he says, I already had it on the schedule. My man is having a fried day with a capital F, if you catch my drift.
I do.
For fornication.
Yes.
And for football.
This scheduled coitus visit is sponsored by Aaron Bailey.
Sponsored by Regenesis.
Freebloodwork.com.
Does he like punch in for that, you know? Like if it's in the schedule, does he have a time card?
Does he have only a specific window where if he...
Yeah, if like you get caught up on the crapper or you're playing a video game, does the moment pass?